Well, hey, hey, and welcome to episode 36 of Maximize Your Strengths. If you believe, as I do, that leaning into and developing your innate talents and strengths is key to success in life, then this is your podcast. Today, we're talking about the strength theme of focus. Our guest is Brent O'Bannon. Brent has facilitated over 27,000 coaching sessions, is the world's first Gallup-certified strengths coach, and a number one Amazon best-selling author that specializes in maximizing, mobilizing, and monetizing strengths for entrepreneurs, executives, coaches, leadership teams, and multi-million dollar companies. His vision is to champion strengths for global excellence. Brent's leadership brand is to bring purposeful goal setting, wise coaching, and entrepreneurial zest to help others lead courageously and win big. Find him at brentobannon.com or strengthschampion.com. I can't wait to share this episode with you. Brent is a brilliant coach. Let's dive in. Welcome to the show, Brent. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm excited to focus and help people understand the focus theme a little bit better, hopefully.
Yeah. So this is going to be a great focus is my number 14. So I do tend to use it sometimes and pull it in, but it's not necessarily my easiest go-to button. So I'm just really excited to have your firsthand experience with it and, you know, just kind of share from your heart as well as your head about the strength of focus. So Brent, first and foremost, would you share with us what your top five strengths are?
You bet. Yeah. Number one is focus. Number two is individualization. Number three is achiever. Number four is command. And number five is competition.
Excellent. Excellent. So in those top five, you've got two in the executing domain, focus and achiever, and two in the influencing domain, command and competition, followed by your relationship building theme, individualization. So it'll be neat to hear about not only focus, but how all of those strengths blend together to create what is uniquely Brent. So it'll be just a great conversation today. But Brent, would you like to start us out by just kind of giving us your personal definition of the strength of focus?
You know, when I first took the assessment, StrengthsFinder assessment, I read the Gallup definition, you know, people exceptionally talented in the focus theme can take direction, follow through, and make the corrections necessary to stay on track. They prioritize, then act. When I first saw that, you know, I could definitely see that I'm a guy that once I have a target, the key is once I have a target, then I'm able to have tunnel vision of going towards that target and not letting anything sidetrack me. But when I discovered that talent theme through StrengthsFinder, I also discovered my need to take direction. And so I need strategic partners. And literally, strategic is not even in my top 12 or so. Mm-hmm. And so I need people who can help me find strategic targets. You know, what's the best target? What's the best goal? And so I've always been that kind of guy. You know, I'll ask other people's feedback and get their perspective. And then it's like, aha, this is going to be my target. And now it's locked in stone.
Right. And then it's go time. So have you found that with your command theme that, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I heard was I need to be willing to take on a strategic partner to help me figure out what is the right goal. And command loves to be that guy, that strength that comes in and says, okay, a decision needs to be made. So let's make it. Have you found that that need is rooted out of, I need to make sure that I'm taking in more than one perspective?
I like to associate my focus talent with a learner.
Mm.
So when I decide to, for example, to read and understand strengths or to read and understand coaching, my focus will learn from other people and read and study. And it almost even takes on an input quality where I am just gathering all of these resources So it's not hard for me to ask for help.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
I've almost always been the kind of guy willing to ask for help. My command wants to be in charge when I have the information or is willing to be in charge. But I really like people to be involved in my life.
Excellent. And I love that. And I want you to hear what Brent just said about, you know, when command takes over. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a little while, you've heard me bring the metaphor of, a 10-seater van, and that your top 10 strengths are kind of all passengers in that 10-seater van. And at one point or another, one of those strengths is really driving. And you might have one that's in the passenger seat, you know, kind of riding shotgun and giving input that way and helping to navigate. He allows his focus to really hone in on what the goal is. And then sometimes, then if it's appropriate, he'll ask his command to step in and be the driver. And I love how you make that shift. And it sounds like it's a very conscious shift. And I think for a lot of people who are new to strengths, that's the real key, is understanding and being aware enough of what strengths are active so that you can go, hey, you know, I need this one to step back a little bit, or I need this strength to really step up. Would you agree, Brent, that that's kind of how your strengths have grown over time, is being able to kind of, I don't want to say manually shift them in and out, but be more aware of what strengths you're utilizing?
For sure. I mean, it's like driving. You can unconsciously be driving down the road and be in what we call highway hypnosis.
Yeah.
And you're moving. Yeah, you're getting there. And many people are doing that with strengths.
Mm-hmm.
They're just in this strengths hypnosis. But what would happen if you intentionally drive down the highway towards your destination, and you knew how to speed up and to slow down and to shift gears at the right time with the right people in the right situation with your talent? That's what we want to do as masterful individuals with our own talents.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Say, I want to kind of dive into a little bit more of the contributions of focus as a strength. And we can definitely talk about the needs in the same bucket, because so often our contributions are so closely paired with our needs. You mentioned that, you know, I really need a clear goal. And once I'm a clear goal, boy, am I like a dart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't have that clear goal, it tends to be triggering. Right? That's one of the triggers for the strength of focus. But let us know a little bit more about, you know, what you see as the biggest contributions of your focus theme.
Yeah, I'll just share a story of when I was 14 years old. I had grown up playing football since I was in third grade, very sports oriented. And that was my focus, you know, playing sports, especially football. And then when I got towards high school, very close to high school, I started to realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm not going to be, you know, 6'3", 250, you know, this massive, lean, mean muscle machine. And I started thinking, am I really going to have an opportunity to go on a scholarship to college in football? And I started asking coaches and talking to different mentors in my life. And someone mentioned, have you ever picked up a tennis racket, Brent?
Mm.
And I said, no, but my dad has played a little bit. I picked up a tennis racket, and it was like I truly found my racket in life. And at that time, it fit me, my personality, my strengths, my body type, everything. And I made one of the hardest decisions I had ever made in my life at 14 years old. I went into my coach and my team, and I said, guys, and I was actually, you know, one of the starting football players. I was a pretty decent football player and contributor to our team. I said, I'm going to quit football, and I'm going to focus on my tennis, and my goal is to win state in Texas and then to get a scholarship with my tennis. And my friends, when they heard me say that I was going to quit football, had a hissy fit. It was, you know, I was called all kind of names. Oh, you're going to play a girly sport like tennis? You're going to quit football? And once I made that decision, there was no turning back.
Mm. I love that.
And so for the next, 2.5 years, I got coaching. I started playing tournaments, read everything I could on tennis. I played all kind of matches. I was, I started from the bottom of the tennis ladder. And a matter within 2.5 years, my partner and I in doubles won the state championship in Texas. And after that, I did get a scholarship and played my entire 4 years in college and through playing tennis. And so even today at 52 years old, I still play competitive tennis and am involved on a competitive tennis team in Dallas, Texas. But that was the best use, or the first best use, of my focus in my life at 14.
I love that. And it's so interesting because I hear so much of your achiever and your competition that played into that decision too. It wasn't just that you were going to even gain a scholarship for college. You were going to win state.
Yeah.
So I hear that competition in there. It wasn't that, second place wasn't going to be good enough. It really had to be that. And an achiever loves to have that checkbox to check off. Once you won that state tournament, you're going, okay, check, check. And so you're looking at all the different things, like how can I up game my tennis game? How can I take that up a notch and really improve my chances to win, not come in second place? And that was going to be, if you weren't going to tell us if you got a college scholarship and if you won, I was going to, you got to tell us, did you win? Because that's so important for that competition theme too.
Alyssa, I remember back when I was 16 years old, all of my friends were swimming in the swimming pool in our little town in Texas, and our tennis courts are right beside the swimming pool. And I literally would get out there with a ball machine if I didn't have anyone to play with, and I would hit up to 8 hours hitting all kinds of forehands and backhands and volleys and overheads and serves, hours and hours. And my friends would go, when are you going to come over here and jump in the pool? And I was like, well, I'm practicing right now. I'll come over a little later.
Yeah.
That was my focus as well.
Oh, that's so good. I also wanted to point out, growing up in Texas, there is a huge culture that leans towards football. Am I right? And so for you to make that decision to not just try out tennis. And again, this is where that focus really comes in. You weren't going to split your energy between the two sports.
Exactly.
You were going to go full in. If you were going to be in, you were going to be all in, focused on tennis. But the courage that it took to quit football in, the state of football. Texas is the state of football, right? It's a big deal there.
And I think that's where, maybe my command would enable me to have courage to go against the grain. Mm. And I didn't always take the popular decision, but it was what I believed I was called to. And that's another piece of focus I think a lot of people don't quite understand is – I like to say that it's very purposeful. So when I start thinking about my work or my relationships or what projects I'm working on, purpose has to be really clear. Why am I doing this? Is it really going to contribute to my family or my clients or to mankind? Mm-hmm. So, and there's probably a little significance mixed with that and futuristic, which are in my top 10 as well.
Yeah, very interesting. So I find, even though focus is number 14 for me, that I have a very difficult time splitting energy. So for instance, when I went into entrepreneurship, I very quickly quit my day job. And it wasn't because I could afford to at that time. It's because I didn't want to split the energy. Do you find when you have to split your energy that that's difficult or triggering for you because of where your focus theme lands?
Alyssa, that's a great point. And I am one of those kind of guys that I cannot multitask. I am not my best when I multitask. And if I am getting overwhelmed with too much information, my brain shuts down. Mm. And so literally I have to pick a lane and drive down that lane if I want to be my best.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you manage that when you are faced with having to split your energy? Maybe you're working on two different projects. I mean, do you compartmentalize, or how do you work with that? And is that where strategic partnerships come in play for you? Because there's somebody listening who's like, oh yeah, I got focused and that's right. I just like, you know, my blinders are on and I'm working on this thing, but dang it, if something doesn't interrupt me or I get yanked another direction, I can't stand that. So how do you manage that?
Yeah, let me share another personal story that I think will highlight this in the raw form as well as in the balcony form. So,
quickly explain what balcony means, because I'm not sure that's a term that, you know, our listeners are familiar with quite yet.
You bet. Yeah, balcony is just a term we use saying that this is the highest use of this talent. Just like if you're on top of a balcony, you have a great view of all the landscape around you. Well, this talent gives you this higher level of yourself. And the basement is the lower level of yourself, the dark side, the shadow side.
The not so pretty side.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And I have my own way of describing that very quickly. Mm-hmm. I like to say, you know, for example, think of I call it my strengthometer, just like a speedometer from 0 to 120 miles per hour. So 0 to 40 miles per hour means that I am coasting with my focus. I am underusing and not appropriately driving my focus at the right speed. If I'm going 80 to 120 miles per hour, then I'm speeding with that focus. I am overusing it, and it will become a derailer. It will cause me to have a wreck and possibly hurt myself or hurt others around me if I am speeding with it. And then 40 to 80 miles per hour is what I call cruising with your talent. And so that 65 to 80 miles per hour is probably your optimal zone. And so I use that metaphor.
I think that's perfect. It gives a really good visual, you know, where you're really trucking along, but you're still safe. You're not going to injure anybody along the way.
Yeah, it's about driving that talent at the right speed, at the right time, with the right people.
Perfect. Very good. Very good.
So quick story. Mm-hmm. You know, when the very early part of my career, I was a youth pastor and a senior pastor at a church, and had, you know, married and had two little toddlers. And I was so focused on my work. I was, you know, helping youth, and, you know, I was doing these Bible studies, and I was mentoring and working with parents. I was doing a good thing. Mm-hmm. However, I began to neglect my time with my wife and even my kids doing a good thing. And focus sometimes does that when you have this goal, and that's the epitome of tunnel vision. And it's an executing thing, so it's all about accomplishing. And so working and becoming a workaholic could be very easy. And literally, my wife and I were going opposite directions early on in our marriage. And she was focused on the kids and, you know, helping the kids. And we hit an impasse and almost divorced. Mm-hmm. Mm. I mean, it was extremely painful. We were even separated for about 3 months. And during that time, I felt like, well, you know, she just didn't understand me. But during that time, you know, I got some mentoring, some counseling, some help from other wise souls. And I began to understand that I needed my wife to help me focus on our marriage and my role as a dad. So we came back together. And I remember one night we were sitting in the kitchen. Kids were asleep. We had been separated. And as we were talking, we looked at each other and we renewed our commitment. Mm. And we both looked at each other and said, I want to grow gray hair with you. It was like refocusing our marriage.
Right.
And let me tell you, Alyssa, and listeners here, in that moment when I made a commitment in my heart, like I wanted to be the best husband and the best, and this is some of my competition coming out too, the best father that I could be. We spent so much time dating and getting to know each other, learning and growing. It became my focus. And it's been 32 years now that we've been married.
I want to clap right now. It doesn't work on a podcast so much, but that's just, it's amazing. I've been through a failed marriage and now am in a healthy and growing marriage. It grows every single day. And so your story about getting that close to the divorce is just really hits home. And, you know, I've grown this huge passion for applying strengths in marriage because it's such a powerful tool when you can see, oh, this is the lens by which you're seeing the world. And oh, by the way, you know, let me share with you my lens as well and how I'm seeing things. And you begin to respect and honor each other in such a different way. And you begin to have that trust in that person, like, hey, let me know if my focus is getting derailed, that I'm going 120 miles an hour and I'm missing the forest for the trees. You're my person that can call me out on that. It just changes the dynamic in marriage and in business partnerships. And I know that you have experienced this too in coaching realm and coaching businesses, that if they can start to use those strengths as, hey, I'm so glad that you bring this to the table. I don't bring this, but this is what I need. This is what I can contribute and help me because there's areas I can't contribute. Now synergy is actually possible.
And that's exactly what a great marriage is it's a strategic partnership. It's a complementary partnership. And my wife has empathy and relator, positivity, consistency in her top five. Mm-hmm. And so she really helps me, you know, I'm an entrepreneur just like you. So she'll come in and say, okay, time to get off the computer, you know, time to quit writing, time to focus on us.
Yes.
And I need that. And that is one of the challenges of focus, is that sometimes I and people with focus can focus more on work and activities that are good, but we need to focus on relationships that are best.
Yeah, that's so great. And hearing all those relationship building themes in your wife's top five, you can see what a fantastic compliment she is to you. And so often opposites attract. Now I'm wondering, Brent, what others, either strengths or other strategic partners, have you found to really complement your focus theme or you in general?
Well, definitely strategic. You know, I have a mastermind of other business leaders that we share best practices with each other to grow our businesses. And almost everyone in that mastermind that I invited has some kind of strategic thinking theme that's not high in me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was purposeful that I asked and chose them to come into the mastermind because, I needed strategic, or I needed ideation, or I needed input, you know. And also those strengths that I have add to them.
Yes. Yeah. I think that right there is the epitome of maturity in strengths, is not being jealous or judgmental of the strengths that are in somebody else, going, oh, I wish I was that, or, you know, why does that guy think that way? It's really going, oh, I'm so glad you're wired this way. That's not something I have to offer, but you can contribute this way. And guess what? I have these strengths that I can contribute to you. That's really that sort of confident vulnerability, that I know what I am, I know what I'm not, both are okay, and now let's get to work together.
Right. And another theme that is a great partnership for focus, and my not only my wife, but my daughter has these in their top five, adaptability. You know, it drove me crazy with my daughter growing up that she didn't really want to set a goal. You know, she wanted to discover life one moment at a time, and she is 30 years old, and she's still discovering life one moment at a time. And she, when I'm around her, she just brings out this fun and this spontaneity, and I'm able to relax and enjoy and smell the roses that I couldn't unless that adaptability is around me.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And I can totally see how that would help you to take your, either your foot off the gas, or she allows, you know, you allow her foot to tap on the brakes just a little bit, just to, hey, the world isn't zooming by quite so fast anymore.
Exactly. So,
that's very good. Now, this was amazing. What a great conversation. And it covered, I think, just about everything that's super pertinent. Any last words of wisdom for that person sitting with earbuds in his or her ears that has focus in their top five and they really want to optimize it?
Well, the first thing I'll say is I don't believe I've fully maximized my potential and focus yet. And so it's still one of those talent themes that I'm learning and growing, and you know, I still read books on it. I still ask others about focus. So my encouragement is to everyone is never get to a place where you think you've learned it all. Continue to have a learner mindset about your talent themes and discover it, you know, as you continue to grow and apply. That would be one thing.
That's perfect. That is a perfect way for us to end our time together. Brent, thank you so much for sharing the mic with us and for sharing your personal experience as well as your immense expertise on strengths and focus both.
Keep up the good work, Alyssa.
Thanks so much for joining us today to chat about the strength theme of focus with strengths coach Brent O'Bannon. He's got so much to offer. Reach out to him at brentobannon.com or strengthschampion.com. You can find his links to his websites as well as social media links on the show notes page at strengthspodcast.com/036. Hey, you know what would be super awesome? If you've enjoyed the show, would you take a minute, subscribe to Maximize Your Strengths in iTunes, rate it, and leave a one or two sentence review. Just go to strengthspodcast.com/iTunes. That's strengthspodcast.com/iTunes. Remember, you are uniquely poised and wired for success. As Donna Clifton said, your weaknesses will never develop, while your strengths will develop infinitely. Bye for now.